A week ago, 36 people died when a fire tore through a warehouse in Oakland known as the Ghost Ship. It was one of the country's deadliest structure fires in the last 50 years. Now, the Ghost Ship was one of many illegal live-work buildings in Oakland, which had become havens for artists seeking an unconventional way to escape skyrocketing housing prices in the Bay Area. Already, city officials appear to be cracking down on these spaces. The Ghost Ship clearly seems to have been unsafe, with former residents describing makeshift stairs and electrical wires crisscrossing the building. But Gabe Moline says it's not that simple. Gabe is online editor for KQED Arts, and less than 2 days after the fire, as he was grieving, he wrote an essay, and he called it, "It Could Have Been Any One of Us." Gabe Moline brings us that essay here, set to the music of Them Are Us Too, a band who lost one of its members in the fire.
For many of us, these spaces are what have kept us alive. In a world that demands its inhabitants to be a certain way, think a certain way, or live a certain way, we gravitate to the spaces that say,
"Welcome.
Be yourself." For the tormented queer, the bullied punk, the beaten trans, the spat upon white trash, the disenfranchised immigrants and young people of color, these spaces are a haven of understanding in a world that doesn't understand, or can't. The first such space in Oakland I came across in 1994 was Phoenix Ironworks, a giant former foundry in West Oakland cluttered with furniture, mannequins, makeshift structures, and large-scale, incredible art around every corner. I spent long hours inside Phoenix Ironworks, rehearsing with my band and getting to know its residents. I've lived in, been to, helped build, or performed at dozens, if not hundreds, of similarly unsanctioned DIY artist spaces. There are thousands like me who are a product of such environments. We know the risks. We know that police and landlords can shut us down at any time. We know our creative alterations to these living spaces are not one size fits all. And we are all too aware of the clashes and piling personalities of divergent backgrounds in close proximity. The bigger risks, the more unlikely ones, that such a treasured place could become an inferno in mere minutes, those don't always cross our minds. Today I know two people on the missing list, and as I scroll through news and social media for updates, hoping to see the word safe next to their names, I also see words like death trap and unpermitted. Outsiders reporting on the tragedy inevitably get it all wrong. They mischaracterize the party as a rave, the music as EDM, and implicitly criminalize the victims as attendees of an illegal event. Hours after the fire, the tragedy is politicized. How can we explain? They don't understand why we don't just live in a $3,000 a month apartment where everything is safe and sterile and clean. Why we live in a warehouse or a garage or an attic or shed or laundry room. Why there's a mattress on the floor with a space heater where there normally would be a queen-size bed with a duvet and a nightstand and central heating. They don't understand why we congregate here at night, pushing salvaged furnishings out of the way to make room for the drum set and amps, packing our friends' bodies in like sardines, moving as one to music that never gets played on the radio. Why we play music here for each other when we could be trying to get booked at real clubs. Why we avoid those conventional nightclubs and their bookers, bouncers, security, sound men. They don't understand that we do not fit into the boxes the world tries to sell us. That their world is unacceptable, and that even for all the ragged edges, we need our own world, on our own terms. They don't understand how our music scenes become families. They shape us, make us more fearless, give us confidence, validate our dreams. We never forget what those spaces gave us. The people lost to the Oakland fire will never have that chance. And yes, there are conversations to be had about Oakland's housing supply and about the market forces that push artists into unregulated spaces. There will surely be a crackdown on the many similar warehouses in the rapidly gentrifying city, spaces with names I don't want to say so as not to raise their profile at a critical time. But for now, it just hurts. For Oakland, and for many of my friends, to be sure. But for all of us who understand.
Since WNYC's first broadcast in 1924, we've been dedicated to creating the kind of content we know the world needs. Since then, New York Public Radio's rigorous journalism has gone on to win a Peabody Award and a DuPont Columbia Award, among others. In addition to this award-winning reporting, your sponsorship also supports inspiring storytelling and extraordinary music that is free and accessible to all. To get in touch and find out more, visit sponsorship.wnyc.org.